We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mr. Rankin, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
The Bears have shown you their vision. It has a lot to do with Bill Polian. Here's the thing. They could end up making good hires. Shrug. I mean, it's possible. There are a lot of smart. When you look at the list of people and you start seeing some of the folks that the Bears would like to interview, whether it's GMs or head coaches, there are a lot of smart people that are on there. I just don't think that what happened yesterday did a lot to sway how people think about George in a positive way. I think it was actually the opposite. I think he allowed for what was said yesterday for people to see him the way that you would look at a rich old owner. Because that's the way that he came off yesterday, completely disconnected to the real world. Cam Ellis does a great job for us writing on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. He joins me now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Hey, Cam.
Hey, Lawrence. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. You know how good I'm doing today? I had a great breakthrough in my workout today. So,
oh, yeah? What's that?
So you know, I hurt my quad playing softball for the Score team earlier this year. I still haven't gotten any of those workers' comp checks. So I've been spending a lot of time like rehabbing. I got back and played, and it was a lot of fun. But I've been doing a lot of stuff with quad work and hip work with the bands. And,
okay. And
I broke the extra strong band today.
Wow. So the rest of your day is just gravy at this point.
That's like, right.
You're ear-to-ear smile at this point, I would imagine.
I am back, baby. Back and better than ever because I have broken a band. The extra strong one, too.
I would start every conversation I had today with that, no matter what else it was about. Like, hey, how are you? Oh, by the way, this happened, so I get it.
That's right. That's right. Well, and I thank all of the people that have helped me throughout, you know, doing the physical therapy of teaching me all of this stuff. But yes, I am the man. As Ricky Henderson said, I am the greatest man today. That's me, who I am.
Are you sure none of this was just pent-up frustration from perhaps Monday afternoon, or you think this was all the band?
I think what it was, Cam, is that I read Bill Polian's book and got fired up.
Now you know how to build a Super Bowl team.
I do.
It's that easy.
I do now understand that having the general manager and the coach and the quarterback is really important to winning football games.
You know, if you score more points than the opponent, it does real good things for the team, generally speaking. I agree. Bill knows what he's talking about, doesn't he?
How did you consume that yesterday? What were the things that you took away from it?
Where to start? It's funny because it was an abject disaster. Like from a PR standpoint, from an optics standpoint, it was disastrous. this guy holds one press conference a year and bombs every single time. Like there was an inevitability to it, but in a different way, it was surprising because the content was so new and fresh. Like, it was all the same disasters just wrapped up in different presentations. But at the same time, you look at what they're doing afterwards. Like you said earlier, like they're reportedly thinking about making a bunch of smart hires. So, you know, it was a lot of talk. It was a lot of bad, poorly designed, poorly approved, just not smart talk. But that I woke up today being like, that's sort of all it is. Because, you know, if they hire smart people, we're none of us going to remember that time that he got in a fight with Olin at the end of a press conference. Like, at the end of the day, this happened because it's January. By next August, things could be totally different.
I don't know. I do think that that's at least, if there is one part that will remain, unless he figures this out and makes it up with Olin, I think that that's something that will stick to George.
Yeah, you're right. That was a bad example. No one will remember that, you know, he said that his mom was very disappointed in it. How about that? Like, the mommy doesn't like it. Well, no one will remember that anymore.
Yes. Okay. There you go. And although we did remember when he said that she was pissed off from a couple years ago. So who knows? But yes, I agree with you. And that's one of the things that I don't – it's almost like maybe there is an echo chamber up there and some texters have pointed that out. How could you look at that performance – how could you look at your opening statement and say, we got it. We nailed this right here.
Like, I felt bad because I kept having to remind myself, like, be a professional, like laughing during the opening statement. Like, I looked around and no one else on the press conference was like laughing. And I had to like turn off my camera for a second because I couldn't stop cracking up because it was comically bad. Like, there either he has 100 yes men in that building that are too scared to say, hey, this is a terrible idea, or no one reads anything he says, because there's no way that no one could read that and go, this is a bad idea. The choices, the optics, the tone, like everything that he presented as within his control of that press conference, he just failed at. Like, egregious across the board that I almost wonder, like, it made me feel like he just didn't really care how mad people were. And I know that they say, oh, he's the fan. He reads the letters and stuff. But, like, I don't know how you act that flippantly about a disastrous last decade plus and also try and sell the idea that you care a whole bunch, because I really didn't get that vibe yesterday at all.
Cam, how did you feel when you heard Ted is also on the call?
It was weird, wasn't it? Like, oh, by the way, like, he's just sitting here on the call, and then Ted's answers were just kind of sad, and, like, he looked very dejected. It was just, like, a really weird way to distance him from what was happening.
Yeah, he literally distanced him from him. It was weird.
But also, he's still on the call if you want to, you know, crush him for a little bit. Like, it was just sort of this weird purgatory where I was like, what is the point of him just like being among the Bears beat writers and being like, oh, by the way, and, you know, bless Kevin Fishbane for 25 minutes into the press conference being like, oh yeah, Ted, like, I have a question for you, because everyone else forgot that he was there because he was just not visible whatsoever.
If I can give them a win, because I agree with you, like, it was a complete disaster. The only part of it that I thought where they actually won it was them talking about Arlington Heights. It was the only thing that one, they seemed excited about, and two, they seemed knowledgeable about. And that's such a strange thing. Like, maybe you could have taken a day. Like, you could have made your announcement about Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy and then said, we are going to talk with everybody on Tuesday at noon or whatever it was. It just seemed like they should have been ready for yesterday, and somehow they still weren't.
And also, maybe don't have Travis Gibson be the first person to address it. Like as it's happening, don't be like, oh, by the way, like, Travis, you're up first. Like, let's talk about how your coach and GM got fired. It was so in your face lazy in that sense. Like everything about the rollout of basically everything after the announcement that they were being fired felt just very shoddily put together and sort of half thought through and half baked, and it just the whole thing sort of just rung, to me at least, like so much, not apathy, but they just, you know, they had to do this once a year, and it's not really going to change any of the way they act. So they're just going to take their lumps for an hour and give sort of short, curt answers and pick fights and semantics because it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. Like that was the vibe I just could not shake from yesterday.
I think that you're spot on with that. And we're talking with Cam Ellis, who writes for 670thescore.com. That was the part of the failure in their press conference yesterday, where ideally you're hoping to connect with the Bears fan that is waiting for anything to right. hold on to say that this is the move that's going in the right direction. You make the move to get rid of Pace and Nagy. That's right. a win for you, like a complete win. Like there were Bears fans who were worried that Ryan Pace was going to still be around. And you were able to, in that moment, say, yeah, we see you and we hear you. We made this move. And then almost immediately, you went to this place of not really giving a damn about your fan base.
I cannot think of a press conference at all, really, around the Bears that I've been a part of since my time here where they have had so much goodwill just off the top. Like the McCaskies, that press conference, this January press conference, never has any goodwill off the top. And like they went into it as neutral as they have been in a while and still just immediately were like, let's start off by just admonishing some high school kids and then making a weird transition and then trying to weirdly equate, you know, personal tragedies with our losing season and then moving on to talk about Bill Polian's book twice. And like it was just so like poorly put together. And I guess the points they were trying to make in a vacuum make sense, but like they were just so lazily and put together that it was just confusing and like sort of insulting at times. It was just like, right, I couldn't help but think about like, well, they just don't care about being here and they have to be because otherwise people will buy it.
Cam, what I know that we've joked around about Bill Polian. What are the pros to having Bill Polian be a part of this?
I mean, like he is, it would be foolish of me to sit here and go just because he's 79 pushing 80 means that he doesn't know about football anymore. Like he obviously is an incredible football mind. He has picked teams. He very clearly has a good eye for talents. People always talk about how connected he is, which is sort of weird to me that like, do the Chicago Bears need someone to be more connected than them? Like if your last name is McCaskey and you need Bill Polian to get the connections, like that doesn't compute to me like it does to other people. But he's plugged in. He knows what he's doing at a very specific level. I don't personally love the hire nearly as much as even sort of neutral people who feel neutrally about it do. Like, I think there are just other places they could have gone in any of a certain number of ways. But, you know, his indisputable track record sort of speaks for itself, and he very clearly knows how to get in contact with people. So those are not bad things to have. I think it's kind of silly to think that other people don't also have that, but
yes,
he has a very illustrious past in that sense. So I think there's some faith in that aspect if you're going to put faith in anything.
Is there anything to worry about where, yes, Bill Polian does have a lot of skins on the wall. He's done a great job of building championship teams, but he's also been out of it for 10 years.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. You know, I think it is hard to hire a buddy who has been out of the league for 10 years and is going on 79, 80 years old and say, this is an important hire for the future of our team. Like that, it's such sort of cronyism in a less serious way than that term is usually used, but it's just, it seems very much like he thought, oh, I have a group of friends. Which one is the best at building a football team? Instead of, oh, who can I call to help build a football team? Like, otherwise, I just don't see why in 2021, Bill Polian would be the guy that you're staking Justin Fields and the future of the next 5-10 years of this franchise on.
Yeah, and I feel like I've seen some stuff where Bill Polian not a fan of Justin Fields. And look, we know that he got the Lamar Jackson thing wrong, and yeah. he had to cop up to that. But my problem isn't that he got it wrong. My problem is that he got it loud wrong. Like the way that he talked about Lamar Jackson smacked of all sorts of stuff.
Right. And if he were to come in here and say, well, Justin has got to earn it on the field, and you know, we're evaluating him like we are everyone else, like, that is a disaster. That is a objective disaster if all of a sudden, after 1 year of being in one of the worst offensive systems in football, that the new GM comes in and goes, actually, we're going to reboot the reboot from 1 year ago, and this guy who was supposed to be the future and the savior of football in the Midwest is all of a sudden already looking at where he should go for, you know, the second stop in his career. Like, that, if you're not on board with Justin Fields, then why are you in the building? Like, to unhitch your wagon from Justin Fields in the sort of subtle but not as subtle as they wanted to way that McCaskey did yesterday was sort of the red flag that I think isn't getting talked about a whole bunch. Like, it was just to say, though, I'm just a fan. I can't really give my, you know, my signing off on Justin Fields the way football guys can. Like, that was weird. And if they're already sort of waffling on Justin Fields, then there are much bigger issues at hand.
Yeah, I thought that was strange, too, especially considering that there were other names of players that he didn't mind throwing out there and telling you about. But the guy that you're hoping is your franchise quarterback, you don't have anything to say. They're too smart by half, you know? It happens a lot with them where sometimes the not saying says more than the saying. And, and I thought that there was a bunch of that. And also, there was a bunch of really bad stuff that was said. But, you know, that's where things stand. And I really feel like if I worked for the Bears yesterday, I would feel like we missed an opportunity. You had Bears fans eating out of the palm of your hand yesterday, and you missed an opportunity to really clearly share your message of hope of this team being better.
Yeah, and I also think that they missed an opportunity to buy themselves some time. You know, like, the Bears fans are impatient at this point, and the clock is ticking even on Justin Fields' contract, and there's an impatience that's built and sort of turned into this anger. And I think if they had come out and said, we want to get this right, we want to put our best foot forward, this may not be a one-year turnaround, but we want to put the guy in place who will build a perennial NFC North contender, Bears fans probably would have given them a little more runway, I think. Like, I think there would have been a little bit of a reset in terms of, okay, that they know what, that they know the big picture here, and we're on board with putting a little more patience that we weren't maybe going to allot them at first into this now, because we're all on the same page about getting there eventually. And instead, they just sort of said, hey, you know, we're going to do the same thing. We promise it'll work this time. And that is the quickest way just to totally isolate yourself from a fan group, that fan base, I should say, that is already like trying to isolate themselves from you. So actively pushing fans away was just a baffling choice in my opinion.
Cam, as always, I appreciate the time. Thanks so much for joining me. Hope that you had a very good new year, and now the searches begin, and I look forward to everything you write on 670thescore.com.
It never ends. I appreciate it, Lawrence. I'll talk to you next week.
You got it. That is Cam Ellis. We like him. That's a good addition. It's a good call by Herbie. Herbie's like, we should have Cam on more. I'm like, yeah, we should. And here we are. Once a week, he comes and hangs out with us.
Appreciate the levity he brings, too.
I just like his whole vibe. It's very different from what you ordinarily see on sports radio. He's just got a good vibe to him. Nice guy, good writer, funny on the air. You can't ask for more than that. The other part of the press conference yesterday that left a lot of people going, what? Was George McCaskey taking Olin Krutz to task. I didn't have a lot of time after the show because obviously the press conference went long. Our agreement with the Bears was that we would run it in full. So we ran it in full, and then we went into transition with Parkins and Spiegel. They had some absolutely riveting radio with Olin Krutz. I want to share a portion of that with you. You will not be disappointed by it. It's next here on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes, live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Take just about anything that Olin says with a grain of salt.
Yeah, we are going to get to that momentarily. I know the folks on Twitch got a little bit of a taste of it during the break. By the way, Twitch is a great way to kind of watch the show if you have time or you want to just, you know, prop us up on your phone while you're at your desk. If you got a smart TV, you could get the app, twitch.tv/Chicago670score, and you can watch the show today. I'm wearing my East Dillon Lions t-shirt. Vince forever! Vince forever! Couple things here. I want to point out, Texters and folks on Twitch have made this point, and I think that it's a great point. Whether we're talking about Ernie Accorsi or whether we're talking about Bill Polian, this is part of the reason that I get mad that the Bears as an organization and George as an individual don't have a better grasp of the league at large. And the reason why is what the Texters and the folks on Twitch have said. These are consultants. Bill Polian, if he like screws this up, his reputation is still going to be intact. And most people will write it off to, oh, you know, he was 79 years old. He was out of the league for 10 years. My issue with George not knowing anything is this is your family's business. This is your family's legacy. Why would you invest in someone who isn't invested in your success the way that you are? And why haven't you taken it upon yourself to invest to know? I think it is incredible. The people that sent me that when Cam was talking about Bill Polian, I think you're spot on. It's okay to find people that are outside the house. Sometimes it does give you some perspective. But the point is, like, Ernie Accorsi went to go work for one of your rivals in the division. You have to make sure that the people that you bring in have your best interest at heart. And I'm not saying that Bill Polian is doing something nefarious. I think that he genuinely does want to help the Bears, but the investment level, figuratively and literally, is on the family. So you should do better. That's number one. Number two, or B, me telling the story about the band, I think that we should have some fun with that tomorrow. I'm not quite sure where we're going to go with this because I don't imagine that people are just breaking gym equipment, but maybe we need to do some sort of like horror stories from the gym or achievements. Like we could all like give each other participation trophies tomorrow of something that you achieved in the gym. Y'all can start calling me Saquon Barkley, man. These quads is out here doing work. I hope I don't tear up my knee. So let me know what you guys want to do with the gym topic tomorrow. You can text in at 312-644-6767. If you think there's something there, or if you're on Twitch and you think there's something there, we can have some fun with it tomorrow because we'll all need some fun. Plus, I'm already getting senioritis. I'm going on vacation on Friday. So I'm already getting senioritis. So I'm trying not to be too cranky pants, but then the Bears make you cranky pants. Speaking of which, yesterday, Adam Hogue, a.k.a. Adam Hogg, asked the question to George about what Olin said about being offered a $15 an hour job as a coach for the Bears. And the response that was given by George McCaskey was, Mike, do you have it? I know that you have his response.
George, Olin Krutz told a story the other day about how the Bears offered him somewhat of a consulting role with the offensive line for $15 an hour. Were you aware of that offer when it happened? And what was your reaction whenever you were aware of it?
I've learned over the years to take just about anything that Olin says with a grain of salt. And I look forward to hearing that story again and hope he includes it in his Hall of Fame induction speech.
So you're saying that it's not true?
That's the way it is sometimes with Olin. Don't get the whole story. And Olin knows what the story is.
Right. Parkins and Spiegel, I think they were scheduled to have Olin on. I'm not sure. That you weren't? Called
Olin's on Fridays for that.
Oh, that's right. That's Olin's on Fridays. So Tanny and Shane called Olin, and Olin was available. You know how they, the folks, the young folks say such and such had time? Olin had time yesterday. I want you to listen to this because, first of all, I thought that Spiegs and Danny made some great radio here. Secondly, especially the first like minute of this, having sometimes been on the other side of Olin's wrath when I was a beat reporter, I want you to listen to his anger building, okay? But there's also a ton of good information here. This is great stuff from Parkins and Spiegel yesterday with Olin Kreutz.
I think what George was trying to tell you there at that point of the press conference was that he doesn't like me. All right, George McCaskey, I guess he doesn't like. And I know I've had some run-ins with George, to be honest, in the building when he was in charge of the ticket office. I remember he had, there's a young linebacker, I won't mention his name, but I had his shirt off at the ticket office window, and George started yelling at him, and me and George started yelling at each other. So, you know, I understand that George doesn't like me, and he's telling you that he doesn't like me as a person, and he doesn't think I'm a good person, and he thinks I'm a liar, I guess, right? He doesn't talk to me since I left the building in 2010 or 11, played 190 games for that team, was their team captain for 8 or 9 years, won 4 or 5 Piccolo Awards while in the building. So he called me a liar, and that's fine. You know, I immediately, because now I'm thinking to myself, man, maybe I got the story wrong. So I call Harry Hiestan, and he confirms the story to me. And I called Ryan Pace, and I talked to Ryan Pace about it because that's what guys do, right? Guys who are leaders, guys who are in charge, guys who are worried about their character, they call people and actually talk to them. And what George McCaskey should have said right there, because maybe the story didn't get to him, what he should have said is, maybe I need to talk to Harry and Ryan about what happened with Olin. Maybe this was a misunderstanding. If he had any respect for me, he would say that. I have respect for them and the organization. So what I actually do is I actually call people who are a part of the story instead of calling somebody who spent that long in your building, who played through injuries for you, who spent that much time trying to win football games for you, who now is a father of 6, who coaches kids in football, who does all these things, who now is 44 years old, who now you haven't seen in 11 years, instead of calling the guy a liar, and everything I say you take with a grain of salt. If that man would have said that to my face, we would have had a problem.
Olin, it is an attack on your character and your credibility, and you felt it that way. So you called the people involved, including Ryan Pace, made sure that the story is right, and are able to stand here with your head held high in this conversation. All George had to say was, I don't know all the details of that conversation. Mm-hmm. And so I'll leave that for, I mean, why would he go out of his way to question your credibility when, as you've clearly stated, the story is true and George doesn't know it?
Yeah, he's questioning the credibility. Now, if I take myself out of this and I become the analyst, right? The last time I played on a football field for the Chicago Bears for George McCaskey's football team, I tore the Liz Frank ligament in my foot in the third quarter of that game. I told the Mike Tyson on the sideline that I thought my foot was broken. He said, Olin, can you finish the game for us? I said, yeah, I'll finish the game knowing I was going to become a free agent, knowing that I was in my 13th year in the NFL. So I played through a torn ligament in my foot. Now, George would tell you this story, you got to take with a grain of salt, because we all know Olin's a liar, right? That's what George would tell you about this story I am telling you right now. But I flew to Indianapolis, went to see their foot doctor, had him put a boot on me for 5 or 6 months. So I can prove these stories, just like I can prove the story by talking to Harry Hiestan that I told about the $15 an hour. Ryan Pace told me, obviously, first time I talked to Ryan Pace about the story, he told me a little different version. Obviously, there's two sides to every story, but he said the offer was made, but it was a standard offer that they would make to people that would go to camp. It's all George had to do is to look at the story a little bit and just say, man, There's our side and there's Olin's side, and there's a misunderstanding here somewhere, and maybe we'll talk to Olin about it one day, since the people in that building do have my number. But instead, he went out there and said that about me. Let me tell you something right now. I see it this way. If a guy like George McCaskey doesn't like me, that is a win for me.
Olin, last week I asked you how you could not hate the Bears when they insult you in that way with the offer. Now that they've insulted your character and called you a liar publicly, how do you feel about them?
I don't want to put them. I don't want to put everybody in the same boat there, right? Obviously, I am not fond of George McCaskey right now and the way he handled himself there. But, you know, the guy just said that he is not a football guy, that he is a fan. He doesn't evaluate talent, but everybody's going to report to him. You guys just listened to that press conference, right? You just heard everything that was said. I am on the radio. I am on TV. I have 13 years in that building. I have a lot of stories that I saw when I was there. I'm sure some of that bugs them. I think we just heard that come out. He talked about they will not talk to players on TV about what's going on in their building because some kind of nonsense that they don't want to put us in a bad spot. You're the ones in a bad spot. What just happened, I don't understand. But you don't ever want to feel like, man, I hate these guys that you spent so many years playing football for, that gave me a lot of fair contracts. I was the highest paid center in the league for a lot of years, which means the Chicago Bears were paying me a lot of money to play football for their team in this city. And so the McCaskey family, they were the owners. I know Jerry Angelo gave me the contract, but they were their owners. Ted Phillips was approving those deals that they gave me. So I don't want to say I hate them. I will say that if I saw George McCaskey right now, we would have probably a few passionate conversations.
What would you say to him?
Well, I would first ask him, how in the hell can you say something like that about somebody when you're the leader of your organization? How can you say that and not look into the story? Is the first thing I would ask him, because that's nonsense to me. And then I would tell him that is an example of why you don't win in your building, because of the way you just handled that. Right. Obviously, there's no, you know, there's no George McCaskey is an older man. I'm an older man. There's no physical contact there, but there should be. He should have to explain himself how you're going to say everything you hear from Olin. We all know you take a grain of salt. I'm sorry. We all don't know that, George. I'm sorry. Me and you have only had two or three conversations in our whole lives together. Right. I'm sorry that you have never called me after I left the building. After I retired, you have never called me. I have never seen you. We have never talked. You have never asked me how my kids and my family is doing, how I'm doing. How's your body feeling, Olin, after playing all those years of football for us? How's your body feeling after all of that? But, of course, you don't consider that. You just go out there and consider, I will assassinate this man's character when I am the chairman of the board of the Chicago Bears.
You know,
great stuff. That's my fault on the edit.
No,
Mike.
That's on me. I got on me.
I said, I wanted to hear you were working like three shifts today, man. I should have helped you out.
No, I should. I wanted to listen to what Speed says. Honestly, that's my fault.
No, that's on me. Don't ever take. This was my fault. But Olin was great. Parkins and Spiegel were great with that, like asking good questions, getting out of the way, letting Olin say what he needed to say about it. And he's right, like. Come on, man. I said it yesterday. Like there's a lot of things that Olin would admit to him being. There are a lot, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm this, I'm that. Not a liar. And I told Jay this on his podcast, The Full Go, yesterday. Here's the thing about Olin. You know what Olin's nickname is? OG. Original Gangster. When you are the person that backs up your talk, when you are someone who is fearless, you don't have to lie. Like, in what scenario would Olin have to lie about that? And he brought the receipts. And as he said, as Dan said, as Layla said, as Mully said, as Haw said this morning, all he has to do is say, I heard something about that, but I don't have the full story. I'm looking forward to talking to Olin about that and getting that cleared up. That's one of our great players. And we don't want there to be any bad feelings between us and our great players. I literally just made that up in 10 seconds. But what did George do? George looked at it as an opportunity, not once, but twice. Or even thrice. I just like saying thrice. To go after Olin.
I hope he includes in his Hall of Fame speech. Hey.
Yeah. It was a window into who that guy is. All of it. Like, that whole hour was a window into who he is. Texas said earlier that the word that I've been skating around and haven't said is entitled. I haven't been skating around. I just wasn't as smart as you. Yes, that's a good word. He came off as a silver spoon entitled brat yesterday. Some happy news on the other side of this timeout here on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
When this show started in midday, when we started 3 years ago doing the show from noon to 2, I hired a young, excitable, crazy man to be the executive producer of my show. At the time, his name was Tony Gill. And listeners of the show, Tony's voice still echoes on the show a little bit. Some of the things that he brought from a production standpoint still show up on this show. I feel like people who listen to this show and listen to Tony on the show have played a part in listening to him grow up. And I have some really, really good news. This weekend, Anthony Gill proposed to his girlfriend Stephanie in a magical way, and she said yes. And it is one of the best things that I've ever been a part of. I sobbed. Me and Russ Dorsey were standing there as Anthony got on one knee and asked Stephanie, and I absolutely sobbed. He's always telling me that we were like, you know, Iron Man, Spider-Man, and I never felt it more than on Saturday night when I just grabbed him and hugged him and I was just crying because I was so happy that he's found someone to love him and to be with him and to sometimes give him that get right when he needs a little bit of that get right. His family is outstanding. Her family is outstanding. I'm so happy that he has found someone, and I'm so happy that I get the opportunity to tell you about the joy of this. Ladies and gentlemen, Anthony Gill. He's no longer Tony. He's a grown-ass man. He's about to have a wife, y'all. That's amazing. Love to them both and to both of their families. I'll talk with Parkins and Spiegel next here on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.